Norway and Wisconsin, the race goes on. From Hayward to Telemark, they sing this song about the best in the world, about you and me, doing the Burke upon her rag.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Festivities are getting underway today in northern Wisconsin as we approach the 41st annual Birkebeiner race. And that's the famous Birkebeiner rag you're hearing in the background.
The Birkey's a Wisconsin tradition, and not to mention the largest and longest cross-country ski race in North America. The 54-kilometer race, as well as some shorter events, bring about 10,000 skiers to the state each year. In today's edition of Curious Wisconsin, we find out what it's like to train for and compete in the American Birkebeiner.
Joining us now is Mike Ivey by day. He's a reporter at the Capital Times in Madison, but in his free time, he's an avid cross-country skier who's competed in numerous Birkebeiners. He'll be doing it again in just a couple of days. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Mike, you are a total Birkebeiner nut. You're doing your 26th Birkebeiner this weekend, so I guess we got to ask you, why do you keep going back and doing it? What do you love about
it? It's a bad habit I can't shake. I started signing up for it and doing it, and then I think they kind of rope you in, because after you do 20 Birkies, you get a special purple bib to wear during the race, and now when you hit 30, they give you a gold bib, so they keep throwing these milestones out there along the way.
So it's a purple bib.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Purple Bib Club. They call it the Birch Leggings Club. Birkebeiner actually is a Norwegian term for birch bark that goes over the top of your boots and pants, and according to Norwegian lore, 600 years ago, warriors dressed in that type of garb rescued the baby prince during the Norwegian Civil War, and that's sort of what started the whole tradition of the Birkebeiner.
Tell us a little bit about the race. How long is it, and how challenging for you?
Well, there's a couple of different events. They have the 54-kilometer classic style, where you go with your skis side by side, and then they have the 50-kilometer freestyle race, which is more of a skating technique. If you watch some of the skiing on the Olympics on TV, or the biathletes, you'll see those guys sort of look like they're almost, skating on their skis. And it's a hard race to do because it's so hilly, is one of the things about the Birkey course, up and down, so it can be a long, grueling day out there. I'll tell you what everybody's talking about right now is this giant winter storm that seems to be bearing right down on Hayward, where the race finishes, and I would assume most of the Birkey skiers are kind of glued to their computers getting the recent weather update, but they're predicting anywhere from 10 to 15 inches of snow tonight and into tomorrow morning. So that's going to make it difficult to get the course packed down.
So that's bad news for the skiers, a lot of snow?
Yeah, because it really slows things down when the snow's too deep. I mean, I think a lot of skiers would rather have it fast with the snow packed down. I like it hard and icy and fast. I mean, I've been doing it a long time. But I think it's going to be a long slug, mashed potatoes, if you can imagine skiing through mashed potatoes, because when that many skiers go over the course, they really tend to churn it up.
How do you train for a race like this?
Well, I think for a lot of people, it becomes a real part of their lifestyle. They maybe bicycle in the summer or do runs, or people paddle. And I think the Birkey tries to sell it as a whole year-round lifestyle thing, that you're not really, you got that Birkey out there looming in the future at some point. So it's a way to, keep you going and keep outside. I mean, some people are really super serious about it and go to clinics and kind of devote a good part of their life to having a great time. And I think back before I had kids and was a younger guy, I was probably a little more gung-ho about it. Now I'm, I try and get out when I can and just enjoy really being out there with your friends. It's sort of like a family reunion in a way. I run into people I only see once a year, and I'll see them at the Birkey, and they have moved to California or to Washington, D.C. or wherever, and then I'll run into them at the finish area. It's one of Wisconsin's really great traditions, and I think one reason that people do enjoy the quality of life we have here.
Well, as someone who's never skied in a race, let alone the Birkebeiner, I've done some cross-country skiing, but I'm curious because I gather there's something like a upwards of 1,000 skiers who do this. What is it like?
10,000 skiers, Veronica.
10,000 skiers. Okay. So what is it like when you're on the trail, you're skiing from Hayward to the Telemark Lodge in Cable, which I gather is closed now, but that's where you're skiing.
It goes the other way. It starts at Telemark and finishes on downtown Hayward. They cover the main street with snow. But what it's like is cross-country skiing, most people think of a sort of a solitary thing. You're out in the woods by yourself. The Berkey is the complete opposite. You're never by yourself.
So are you chit-chatting along the way and exchanging bits of gossip, or are you just focused in?
Well, I would say the guys up in the front are probably breathing too hard to do much chit-chatting. But as you as people sort of spread out as you do it more, I think there's quite a bit of chit-chatting. And then there's rest stops along the way, so there's 7 or 8 stops with warming fires, and they provide hot drinks for the skiers and bananas and donuts and stuff like that to, you know, sort of keep your energy up. And there's a fair amount of camaraderie out there. I would say that people are always nobody's trying to really knock each other down too much. I mean, there's some guys that get maybe a little too excited, but for the most part, I think people realize it's a fun thing, and it's they're all out there together, kind of testing ourselves and try and make sure everybody has a good time.
Would you say that a good number of these people that are competing alongside of you are amateur athletes, or are they just enjoy the cross-country skiing?
It really depends where you start, because they have these different waves depending on your previous year's finish time. So, like, the real fast people end up in the front, wave one, or the elite wave for almost, Olympic caliber type people. And then as you go farther back, people are slower and slower. So they probably are a little more, it's not quite as competitive in the back. So it really, it's something that everybody can do. I think a lot of people, maybe that's the only ski race they do all year. Then whereas you get the guys up in the front, they might be doing a ski race every weekend. They're sort of on the circuit. So it really runs the gamut. Plus they have a shorter race that's only 23 kilometers called the Kortaløpet. I think that's Norwegian for short race. And they even have a 12-kilometer race. And then the few days leading up to the event, they have other stuff like a short kids race and some other events, that kind of fun thing. So there's really something for everybody if you're not up for doing the whole 50-kilometer thing.
Now, you talked a little bit about the history of the Birkebeiner. It took originally the name came from a Norwegian event where a couple of skiers were trying to smuggle a prince to a different city in Norway through some mountains. And I gather that in Norway, some of the skiers will still carry a pack on their back to symbolize this 18-month-old. Do people do that up in Hayward?
No, I've never seen. Actually, if they're going to go to Norway and do it, Norway still has their own Birkebeiner, and to do that, you need to carry a pack that simulates the weight of the prince. That's just sort of how crazy that one is. Hmm. The American Birkebeiner was actually started by the founder of Telemark Resort, the late Tony Wise, as sort of a tourism draw. And if you remember back to in the 70s, skiing sort of was really taking off here as part of the running fitness boom. So he said, hey, here's a way to get the people to come up to my resort. So he started this race. And it used to go the other way from Hayward to Telemark and ended at his resort. And he said, I'll drum up a bunch of business. And then it really took off. And it's become the largest, like you were saying, the largest cross-country ski race in North America.
How long does it take you to actually finish this 54-kilometer journey?
Boy, back when I was a younger guy, I think my fastest time was maybe 2 hours, 35 minutes. And then, probably, I've been getting slower as I get older. So I'm hoping this year with all that slow snow, I think around 4 hours it'll probably take me to do it. But the winter, I think the record time is right around 2 hours. So, and then some people take, I think you can take up to 8 hours. They'll kick you out if you're too slow. If you get to the end, they'll say, you haven't hit the time limit. But people go, what's fun is at the end, people in Hayward are all standing out. It's like a huge party on Main Street, cheering everybody as they come in. And skiers keep streaming in, right up till 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
And what do you do when you get to the finish line typically? Do you fall down or do you just have a beer and a steak or something?
Some fall down, but usually the first thing you want to do is take off soggy ski socks and change your clothes. And then they have a giant tent set up with food available and everything. And then a lot of people sort of end up filtering down to the taverns that are on both sides of the street in Hayward, and it becomes a pretty giant party. I think people in Hayward, it's their single largest tourism day of the year, is Berkey Saturday. So it's a huge tourism event for northern Wisconsin, not just Hayward, but all the little motels, and people, you know, stay, you know, hopefully within an hour or so they get to the race start. Giant traffic jam that day too. It's just gonna be, I don't know what it's gonna be like with all the snow they're predicting, if they're gonna get all the roads open and everything. Fortunately, the snow's coming on Thursday and not Friday.
So you got a day to clear out?
I think so.
What's your best advice that you can offer to cross-country skiers who might be considering the race?
Don't go out too hard. Take it easy. I always say, if you're sweating, you're going too hard. That's my attitude about it. So I've learned it's a lot more fun to take your time and stop at the aid stations and everything. And I would say get in some, you know, you want to get in some hills, because that's the main thing at the Berkey is the hills. The ups are tough, but as you get to the back, so many people have gone down, they sort of start to snow plow the snow away, and you end up with these giant troughs, like two or three skiers wide across the hills. And it's almost kind of like going down a snow tubing chute, you know, and you've got to watch for people falling in front of you. I remember when I did my first Berkey, I had to start way in the back. I must have fallen 15 times or so. And I remember one time falling and trying to ski over one of those humps. And
wow, crashing. It sounds like an adventure. But, Mike, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for being with us and good luck.
Thanks.
Mike Ivey is a reporter at the Capital Times. He'll be competing in his 26th Berkebeiner this weekend.